another episode of How to Business, a podcast by the Small Business Development Center in Chattanooga, Tennessee. In this episode, Rebecca from our SBDC team is joined by Anthony Raffa from the Johnson Group. They discuss why everyone should have a Google My Business profile and how to take full advantage of everything the search engine tool has to offer.
If we travel down memory lane to the days of neighborhood soda shops and pharmacies, phone books, newspapers delivered to your front door, getting your business name out to the public would be through posters on the wall, yellow pages that you would pay for, ads in that, advertisements in the newspapers. But now it's a new day, it's a new era, and there is a much easier way. And honestly, you can do it at no cost with great results if you're willing to spend a little time, understand best practices, and be consistent. So today, I'm excited to be talking about Google as a business tool and the things that you can do and the things you need to know to be able to use it to its full potential. So it's a really exciting way for businesses to be relevant and present and much easier than it was done in the past. And today we're going to have Anthony Raffa from Johnson Group with us, and he's going to tell us a little bit about himself.
First of all, thank you so much for having me.
Ah, thanks for being here.
This is, I got to say, this is my podcast debut.
Yay.
So this is really, really exciting. So like you said, my name is Anthony Raffa, and I'm with the Johnson Group. We're a local marketing agency here in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And within the agency, we really cover all items that a business could possibly want done when it comes to marketing and advertising. Really anything from placing a billboard to running an ad on TV, or specifically within the digital channels where I exist, when it comes to paid search, paid social, and all the avenues within the marketing landscape. So specifically, kind of how I came up in that is I walked into the Johnson Group with a paid search backbone. Within our digital team, each individual within that kind of has their own specialty and backbone. So I came up and was trained with a Google lens. Google Ads was that main focus. And so really learning the items within Google, the products within the ever-expansive, transcending Google umbrella. It's really incredible to see all of the pieces that businesses, small and large, can leverage to fulfill the goal of reaching their audience. So within the scope of today's conversation, kind of focusing on Google My Business specifically, it's an essential tool for businesses to leverage in reaching the local audience. Google My Business, you might have experienced that within a Google search experience. If you're going to find something that's local to you, what you see on the Google search page is you might see what's called a map pack. And that's really Google kind of looking out for the small businesses. They're wanting to make sure that the user is aware brick and mortar shops or the businesses that offer a service in your area, and they want to showcase them. And you can be viewed on the search results page, or if you're on Google Maps searching for a product, company, or a service as well. And the attributes of that listing and how the user interacts with that, what they see, and if you've been on Google, which we all have, it's a photo, phone numbers, different methods of contact for the company, products and services, business hours, and then specific to where we are kind of in the world today with crazy things like COVID-19, specific updates around the status of your business. Are you temporarily closed? Are you just open for, is it just curbside pickup? Very critical specific updates that are pertinent to a specific event or kind of climate.
Great. Well, we're excited to have you. You are definitely an expert in the field, and that's what we like to do here at the TSBDC, is surround ourselves with people that are knowledgeable to help support the small businesses in our area. So thanks for that brief understanding of Google. And so in the simplest terms, you've described Google Business Profile from what it visually looks like. It's the one that pops up on the right hand when you do a word search or a business name search. And it's really easy for people to go on and start the process of getting your own business on there. And so I want to dig in. I know this is kind of elementary for some people, but for other people that may not be tech savvy or they don't consider themselves computer people, it's nothing to be afraid of. So I really want to start there. The first thing you do is you just type in Google My Business and it pops up. And it's Google.com /business is what's going to come up. And it walks you through every single step of it. You enter your business info. They are going to ask you to wait for a confirmation call or a postcard so that they can truly confirm that you are the business owner and that you exist as a business. And that really just protects all of the community out there that are doing searches to make sure that they're finding legitimate businesses when they do the searches. And then you're pretty much set to up to go, and it's super easy to develop that profile. And so when you're starting to develop your own profile out there, the first thing you want to do is create an overview. And you're going to put some contact information in there, your location. You can include directions. Your website can be included in that. You had mentioned hours of business. And with this program, you can change those hours of business. You can tell whether you're Monday through Wednesday, certain hours. And so you can get really specific so people can know when you are open and they can find you through that. You can add your logo. You can add a description of your business. You can add attributes of your business, like if you're Black-owned or if you're woman-led. And so there's some really great opportunities at no cost for a business to be able to completely disclose who they are and what they're about and really create a very unique profile. Anything else that you can think of? I guess like photos and of your products and services, and you can share your restaurant menu and actually order online.
Definitely. I think one thing to point out that as people are understanding what the implementation and what the setup looks like for Google My Business, one thing that makes it a little different than, say, your social media profile, than, say, your website, is the fact that this is kind of a crowdsource effort. So any listing on Google that has not been verified by the business owner, anybody can contribute to it. So if you go to a restaurant, tried maybe for the first time, and you find that there isn't a business owner that's verified the listing, you can really go in and you can update the hours if they're incorrect.
Oh.
You can even change the address associated with it. And if there's not a business owner that's verified on that piece, those changes have to be approved by Google. And Google will have to find their own ways of confirming those updates. What's absolutely critical for all the business owners listening to this is ensuring that you are verified. You have essentially introduced yourself to Google as the business owner. And you nailed it earlier. They'll send you a postcard in the mail. And then there's various methods of responding to that piece in the mail. So that there's a 100% clarity around who is actually managing this business and who has full authority over the profile listed on Google. However, users that interact with your business and might find the information still might be out of date, maybe those hours need to be shifted, they can still push through edits, but those, because you're the verified owner, you then can approve those updates. So just one thing to note that maybe makes it a little different than just, say, updating your website, where that's only you touching it, updating your social media presence, that's only you. Google My Business is a little different in that way.
That's really great information, and I'm sure a lot of people have not thought of that and were not aware of that. Another thing, you know, with those hours and the updates for COVIDs, you can actually share events. You can share your offers. You can do photos of your storefront. I've got businesses that I work with that their address is somewhat vague and it's harder for people to find it. So having their storefront picture out there helps people identify, oh, this is the door I'm supposed to be walking into, as opposed to just kind of landing somewhere in the middle of a parking lot.
100%. On location, one thing that can be a little confusing to the new user who is maybe updating the information for the first time, or maybe there hasn't been a listing, so they're creating it from scratch. Some owners come in and they verify, they prove they're the owner, and they're kind of working with the information that the community has already kind of built up. Usually that's very fundamental, usually very basic information that the owner can provide so much more context, so much more color to that, mm-hmm. that page. It's really recommended within Google's best practice to really, all the criteria, all of the pieces that you can populate, fulfill those. There really should be no tile, no piece left untouched, because it's there kind of waiting for you to fill in with your specific information on your business that Google has provided the structure for when it comes to each product, each service that you offer. All of those are essential to inform Google who you are, what you do, and that helps you rank the best so that when users, no matter who they are, or really what the nuance or on the search term that they're searching for, the more information you can give Google around your Google My Business profile, better is your chances of getting in front of the right individual. One note that you mentioned around photos kind of verifying to a user, yes, this is the location I was thinking about. Yes, this is where I thought it was. One thing that's important to note, there might be a lot of listeners today who maybe they don't have a brick and mortar location in the traditional sense. Maybe they're more so like a service provider where they come to you to where this might be my home.
Right.
Right. So one thing that's important to indicate is that when it comes to location, there's a physical address and then there's a service area. And so if you're offering a service that is not in a brick and mortar location, say a plumber, you go to an individual's house, that operation can't be executed in a traditional physical location, obviously. And that's a great example of where you might not be showcasing, here's where we exist, here's where our offices are, more so, here are some zip codes, here are some counties that we offer our services to.
Well, and that's the great thing about Google is that you do have that option of saying, this is the service area that I have, because some of the businesses are smaller and they are working out of their home, and that's not something that you have to share. You have to verify that you have a location, but that doesn't mean that that ends up on your profile. You have that choice of putting where your location is or what the service area is. And thank goodness Google takes that into consideration for smaller businesses.
A lot of foresight on their end to really understand when it comes to users interacting with local businesses, there is a distinct difference between those that you go to and those that come to you. And that's an opportunity for a business to indicate, I'm one or the other, or in some cases, say like a pizza restaurant, you could do both. You could come and dine in, or it could be a delivery option. So in that case, you're indicating, here's my address. It's available to the public. You can come here, dine in, or here are the areas that I serve in terms of delivery. One last note on that. Due to what we found in kind of some of the back end results in how certain listings rank, Google seems to prefer a listing that does have an address associated with it. However, just because you associate an address with Google My Business does not mean you have to make it public. So if you fall in the category where you're just a service area, but you don't want those customers coming to your door, indicate that service area. Also indicate that physical address, even if it's your home, but then hide that from the public. So Google can see, okay, this is legitimate. There's an address associated, but we're not going to be showcasing that to the public for people to come knock on your door.
Great, great information. And again, this is protecting the public also. Google does these checks and balances to make sure that the public is getting a true business and not a fake business. And I appreciate that from a consumer standpoint. When I was doing some research on Google, I found out that they actually even have a point of sale system where you can automatically add your in-store inventory to your business profile. And they have a program called Pointy. They keep on developing programs that offer solutions to people's needs. And so if you don't have a storefront, you can still show that your inventory that you have, that you're selling out of your house through their point of sale system that's on there. So nice little additional tool that Google's offering to the customers and to the businesses out there.
Absolutely. It's just another example of Google catering to all the different types of businesses that are really being developed in time as consumer needs change, business responds to that. And as an integral piece to that landscape, Google My Business adapts as well, which is why it's really important in terms of optimizing and updating your listing. It's really crucial to update on two accounts. Update to make sure your Google My Business listing is totally accurate to the latest developments of your company. And then that second piece is ensuring that you're up to speed, to your point on the point of sale, you're up to speed on the latest developments within the Google My Business framework so that you know, what are the added features? What are the added opportunities for me as a business owner to maybe share a little bit more criteria? Optimizations look like making regular posts. You can make posts on the listing, and that can look like announcing, we're running a sale, trying this new flavor of smoothie, whatever the nuance of your business is. Also, what Google really likes is listings that upload recent photos. They like to know that you're interacting, you're keeping it up to date, and a great way to do that is upload photos.
So we're kind of digging into the whole search engine optimization part of Google. And Google has certain things that they completely look at to make sure that you're active and that you're not an old business that's no longer serving the industry. So can you talk to us a little bit about search engine optimization and best practices for that part?
Definitely. First and foremost, it's critical to ensure that you have the foundational building blocks satisfied within your Google My Business listing. And so starting off, that's ensuring that you're verified and you have all of those points checked off. There's no piece left unfulfilled within Google My Business. Google is fully aware of who you are and what you do based upon that listing. And how you rank properly for certain keywords within the Google My Business piece is the primary and secondary category. The primary category is an opportunity to be a little bit more broad with who you are. It could be restaurant. It could be fitness. It's an opportunity to catch a larger umbrella. But that secondary category is an opportunity to really nail down the core of what you do specifically within that umbrella. So depending on what kind of business you are, what is that product or service that you offer, using that primary and secondary category is a way to really indicate what kind of searches will you be showing for. And it's important to understand those who might want to kind of game the system and choose a category that's not super relevant to them. Well, maybe there's no traffic for this category. I'm going to select this one and show up for that category. Google does go after relevance above all when it comes to the organic results in a listing. So it's important to understand that with each primary category and the secondary category that you indicate, those are potential competitors as well that have also indicated that category. You will be showing up with other results on the page. It's important that you are ultra relevant. Once Google My Business is fully satisfied, you have all of those pieces taken care of. If Google adds a new feature, you're on top of that. You're in there managing on a regular basis. Not every day, but you're aware of what's happening with your business and you're letting Google My Business know. You're responding to reviews. You're uploading recent photos, if there's anything relevant that's happened visually with your brick and mortar. And then you're creating posts if there's any events that need to be called out to your audience that would be relevant. Once that's satisfied, the next piece is to go one of two different directions. And that is to improve the ranking of your actual website, and that would be SEO. That's optimizing the content on your website and all matters relating to your website to ensure that Google deems you relevant so that you appear for the right searches. Other piece to that is deploying some media spend with Google Ads. Google Ads is a great step to take. The platform itself really sets it up to where they can leverage the content you've already provided and then really piggyback that into a Google Ads campaign. And what is special about starting with Google My Business and really, really coming to a deep understanding of that platform is understanding some of the search terms and understanding where are they coming from? What are they really searching to connect with me? What really resonates? What is my audience really looking for? It's a great way to kind of craft a strategy based off the understanding when it comes to a Google Ads campaign. And Google Ads, simply, for those who aren't aware, Google Ads is telling Google which keywords, which search terms that you would like to bid on so that when individuals make that search in a certain geo radius that you want to pay to have your ad listed above everything else. So when you make that search, that Google map pack where the Google My Business listings are offered, the Google Ads piece, if anybody is bidding on that keyword to serve their ad for that term in that area, that Google ad will be on top to push you ahead of even the Google My Business listings.
So that's kind of like when you Google restaurants near me or Google car dealerships near me, that is an opportunity for people to bid on that and pay some money to be able to elevate their listing on the page.
Absolutely.
Is that hard to do? I mean, can you just go into Google My Business or is it a different website? Where do you go to do that?
So within Google My Business, there's a clear pathway that they can introduce that to you, especially when it comes to those who feel like they've really leveraged Google My Business and it's time to introduce a new channel. They're comfortable deploying a certain amount of ad spend. What that would look like is going to ads.google.com, and that's a different platform, still within the same Google account you've already created. If you're a little bit unfamiliar with this landscape, Google's made it easier for those to create what's called a smart campaign, and that is where you put a lot of trust in Google, and Google does a lot of the legwork for you. where I might be in my agency working on behalf of a client in a more advanced type campaign that's really designed for those who know the structure well. I might be doing a lot of legwork on my part to ensure certain results or to ensure that a campaign is built a certain way, because someone like me might have the time and the energy and the resources to do so. But if you're a business owner, that's probably not the case. So if you're evaluating whether you have the knowledge, the resources, and the bandwidth, it might make more sense just to deploy a smart campaign. And what you see from that could tell you how to move forward.
What's the least amount of money that people can spend on something like this per month?
The least, to be totally honest, you could spend $1 a day if you want. You could find a keyword where the cost per click is very low and you could serve for that. And if you're clicked, you'll be charged $1 for that click in theory. And then that would satisfy your budget for that day. So it's really as little as you want.
You get what you pay for, obviously, with advertising. And you get a big bang for the buck just for the amount of time you spend on the basic Google. But if we were to start talking best practices, what do you think? Are you looking at like $50 a month to start with? I mean, what should people be budgeting for their financial forecasting to be successful? I mean, to be really successful.
That's a really good question. And that, when it comes to any individual who really wants to start promoting their product, their company online, especially when it comes to Google Ads, we get that question a lot. And the truth is that there's not a hard and fast answer on that. I know we want one, but there really isn't kind of a carved out template. What's really important is that you understand what is the goal of this initiative. When we serve this ad and an individual interacts with this ad, what is the best possible thing they could do? Like, what is the goal that we're really going after? And what's important is to identify that and understand if that user fulfills that objective, that would just be the best thing. They go in and they submit a lead form. They go in and they purchase our product online. Really important to identify what is that worth. And then from there, you can scale back down to creating a budget off of that. So if you ran Google My Business and we learned that most people found your listing because they searched for sushi restaurant, well, that's going to be a term that we're going to start bidding after more specifically. And then maybe we might be altering that. Sushi restaurant near me. Sushi restaurant with curbside pickup. Google can give you insight as to how much competition surrounds that. How many other advertisers are bidding on that term? And then that's a good way for you to understand in my area, in my industry, and the types of terms I'm wanting to bid on, is this a really costly term? Is this something where I might need to be increasing my budget? Whereas maybe if these terms were a little less competitive, I could scale down my budget. It's really understanding what are the terms you're going after? How is Google forecasting that might be in terms of cost, in terms of competition, and then building it off of that.
It sounds like there's a way that you can go in and check how successful your listing is, and there's some back or areas where once you get familiar with what you want to post, you can see results. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. Because there's so many data points around the platforms that we're talking about within the realm of Google My Business and Google Ads, there's a lot of reporting to be done as well. And it's important to know, like I mentioned previously, what are the goals? Because there's so many ways to slice these results, it can be easy to get lost in.
Yeah.
So it's important going in, here are my goals. So while other things might add color and other things might add understanding in terms of this reporting, here's what I'm really looking for. So what that looks like is, touching on Google My Business, there is some reporting there on the back end. And what's really important there is you can see, what do actions look like? And this might be something that might speak to the nature of your business, but you can see, are people clicking the website? Are people clicking the directions to the address I provided? Or are people calling? And you can kind of see that breakdown. Everybody who clicks your Google My Business listing, they're doing really one of those three main things for the most part. They're looking for directions, they're calling you to contact, they're going to ask you a question or whatever the case may be, or they want to get more information. And those are the key metrics there on Google My Business.
And so they're collecting all of that data.
Absolutely. And how Google My Business is a great kind of primer to say Google Ads is that kind of gets you really interested to understand what are the consumer's behavior here around interaction with my company. And that kind of gets you thinking in the right way to understand if you do deploy paid media spend on Google Ads, well, the results to understand and the way and the data points to find in that reporting is exponentially more vast and more detailed. You can understand how people are interacting with your ads in a specific county, in a specific city. You can understand maybe what device they were on when they saw it, when they clicked it. You can understand what kind of ad copy, like the actual search ad, what's performing better or worse than the others. There's a plethora of data points on the Google ad side that really has really been primed and has really been kind of introduced in what some of the data you can see in Google My Business. It's not as vast, but some of those core pieces are there as well.
Well, that's exciting if you have the time to delve into that. So you being with an advertising agency, I could see where hiring an advertising agency at some point in your business is going to be super helpful to have somebody take the time to delve in and to really understand, just to be able to get the most for your money. And can you talk to us a little bit about how you work your position as an advertising agency and how that would benefit a business out there?
When it comes to the business center, trying to determine, is this something that A, is valuable enough for me to pursue, and B, is this something I can handle on my own?
Do I have enough time?
Yeah. I think in an ideal space, a business owner really has control and over a lot of components of their business, and advertising ideally should be no different. And maybe that might be the preference there. But what we see is really kind of the hang up is a limitation around kind of three components I mentioned earlier. And it's, is there knowledge there? Is the resources there? And is bandwidth? Are there enough hands?
Yeah.
Is there enough energy? Is there enough time in the day to really carry that through? And I know, unfortunately, a lot of local companies have been really having a hard time with staffing issues. And you see that everywhere. So when it comes to something like this, it might be something where there just isn't enough bandwidth. So when a business owner really considers those three main elements, and yes, this is valuable enough to me to pursue, but the resources aren't there, the knowledge isn't there, and I don't have the time, I don't have the bandwidth, I would say that's an ideal circumstance to look at handing that over to a consultant, an agency, and if it makes sense for your business, a dedicated person on staff. But when it comes to local businesses, smaller businesses, that's not usually the case. When we're talking about Google Ads and Google My Business today, I think Google My Business is a great example of something that the resources and knowledge around that is sufficient for the business owner to leverage, to, like I mentioned earlier, to update, to maintain, to optimize. It's really geared for anyone to go in, and if you're updating your social media platform and you're updating your website, it's really the same information, just a different platform. So there shouldn't be any issue around knowledge or resource there. In some cases, an agency like ourselves will manage some of the day-to-day, some of the optimization, because the business owner lacks the time and lacks the energy. There's a piece of bandwidth there. But making that transition into paid media, you want to make sure that it is aligned with your goals and that every dollar spent, you're learning something from it, you know what to look for, and it's informed. And so our recommendation is to, if you feel confident about that and you have the energy to do so and you have the bandwidth, go for it and learn from it. But if you would feel more comfortable deploying those dollars with those who do have those resources, that would be our recommendation. And it's important to find an agency where the relationship is strong. There's mutual trust, so that you know that you, as a business owner, while you might not be able to be implementing this yourself, you can trust that you are learning from it just as the agency is, or just as your consultant is, and being able to leverage those data points to be able to make the best next step moving forward with that strategy that you're implementing.
Right, right. And honestly, if you want to grow, growth takes time, but you only have that bandwidth as a business owner to do so much. And there is going to come a point where you have to like shed a hat. We call it firing yourself from a position. And this is one where you will get the most benefit from using an advertising agency or using monies to boost your posts so that you can, you know, get a lot of relevant coverage and exposure out there. And everybody's on the computer. Everybody's on their phone. Everybody's doing a search for something. So if they're going to be out there doing it already, what are you as a business owner doing to make sure that you're a part of that conversation? And if you're not part of that conversation, how can you expect to actually be able to grow as a business? And we're all here, honestly, to make money. And to make money, you have to grow. So I'm so excited that you're here and talking about that from how an advertising agency or a consultant or a media content person can help benefit businesses that are wanting to go to that next level. One thing we haven't talked about, which I find fascinating, are the reviews and the review section and the importance of the review section. So can you dig in a little bit about that?
Sure. So customer reviews is a big piece about when it comes to Google My Business. It is a piece that is featured in the user experience when they're viewing your listing, as well as the information you provided is there well and clear. The reviews are there as well. So what you'll see is kind of a composite star review, so kind of an overall score. But on top of that, you have personal reviews that people have gone in and shared about their experience. Here's a really important opportunity to engage with your customers. As you might have seen, whether you've seen reviews left on your own company or whether you've seen reviews left on another company's Google My Business or on their website, whatever the case may be, they tend to swing on one side of either extreme. And it's important as a business owner to be there to kind of be the first touch to interact with them if there is something that went really right or something that went really wrong. And so what's really powerful about Google My Business is that it doesn't leave you hunting for those or trying to search for those. It manages those reviews in an easy, succinct way for you to view those that you have not responded to yet or you have not kind of followed up with yet. And it gives you a really easy touch point to respond to that and find ways to, if it was a great experience, you can let them know that you really appreciate them sharing that with you as the business owner, but also the world at large. But if it was a poor experience, you can be there first to maybe learn more about that and maybe learn more about, really most importantly, how you can make that right. Unfortunately, what we do see, and now this isn't a hard law, but this is a trend that we pick up on, is that typically those who have a positive experience do not always review. But those who do have a negative experience, I think there's something in us as humans that we want to let people know about it. But there's another side to that. And what we've seen are really successful ways to increase the positive reviews that you see. Because the fact of the matter is, the vast majority of individuals who come to your shop, they come to your restaurant, they interact with your business on a regular basis, they might not think to leave a review always. But there is a positive kind of tidbit, a positive experience or a positive sharing that can be leveraged there. So a good way to do that, and strategies can vary in the exact execution, but what we've seen is offering a promotion to your customers and incentivizing them to leave a review and then offer a discount or offer them some point of value on the other side of that review. And it's those who are, they might be new, but they might be regular and they might have something really good to say. And just offering that incentive, offering that point of value to the customer is a great way of having that story, having that positive experience hit your page. And that offers holistically a more accurate view than just a handful of those who were upset that day or something crazy out of everybody's control happened. So it's important to understand, yes, the vast majority are pleased with what they are experiencing. Look at ways to incentivize and getting a proper response to offer an accurate viewpoint of what your business is.
And if you can respond really quickly to the negative response, then it shows that, because people want to do business with businesses that have a lot of reviews. They want to see how other people are reacting and interacting with the companies. And you can't control the, you know, every single post you can get, but you can respond quickly so that those potential customers are seeing, well, this guy had a bad experience, but look how quickly that business came around and responded to it and fixed the problem. And then you don't feel invisible as a person that had a bad experience because the, you know, the business is responding to it. And so I think there's a lot of opportunities for reviews to give a true picture of the customer experience. And we all, as a consumer, want to have a good, positive customer experience. So I like it from that standpoint. Somebody was saying the other day, I trust what somebody else said about you more than I trust what you say about yourself. And that's what a Google review does. It gives not what you say about your own business, but it tells you what other people are saying about your own business. And that's valuable when you're trying to convince people that you're trustworthy, that you're relevant, and that you're a good value. So as we kind of close up, we've talked about a lot of things. We've talked about the benefits of getting your name out there. So is there like any practices that you can come up with that maybe are best ways to stay ahead of the program? How often should you be updating?
Sure. I would say best recommendation there is to A, ensure that any update that happens with your business, whether it be hours, location, whatever the case may be, any time you're going to be updating your website for the company or for your social media profile, ensure that Google My Business is no different. There shouldn't be any discrepancy in the information provided to Google My Business listing in your website. You need to see Google My Business as another tool. Shouldn't be seen as a burden. Oh, this is another thing we have to update. No, this is an incredible tool that Google is offering you at no cost whatsoever. No cost whatsoever. They're really looking out for local businesses with this platform. I think best recommendation is to honor that, utilize it, leverage that, make sure it's totally up to date with the latest happenings with your company. And on top of that, bi-weekly, a monthly checkup to ensure that there isn't any updates that you can then leverage. And if there are, leverage that. Use those pieces. When they introduced the opportunity to use virtual tours in your company, it's not just a photo anymore. You can add photos, but you can also create a virtual tour experience for customers to go through before visiting. Different pieces like that. Some things might not make sense to the nuance of your business, but it's important to be aware of all the things that Google My Business is offering you as a business owner. And for those that make sense and for those that you can leverage, do so. Simple as that. If you have the mobile app, Google My Business mobile app on iOS or Android, it can give you real-time updates on insights around performance, but also updates around customer reviews as well. So while you might have your bi-weekly checkup, your monthly checkup, if anything pops up like a review for you to be there to answer to, that'll be there front and center on a mobile experience for you as a business owner, just for convenience. You're on the go. You might not have time to be on this platform every day, like some of us in advertising might be. Another piece there is answer questions outside of review. This can be confused with a review. It is different. Individuals in the community, people using Google, can pose a question to the owner. Do you allow pets when I come in and use your hotel, whatever the case may be? Do you offer curbside pickup? Whatever the question may be. Answering those questions as they pop up is huge, because while one person might be posing that question, they're probably not alone in that. That probably is representative of a population of those who might be asking the same thing, and that the answer to that question could be a deal breaker. Again, post regularly, see it as a community, see these individuals who are finding your listing, make sure they are completely up to date as your social media followers might be. Finally, the last kind of bullet point here for optimization and regular updates, upload photos as well. We really find that Google tends to maybe favor those who are updating photos regularly just to show that, hey, I'm on the platform, it's up to date, it's up to speed.
And it's amazing, thank goodness, for the smart people out there that are creating these tools for us to be able to use, because it has changed the tapestry of advertising. It's changed the tapestry of being able to get your business known out there, you know, for people to be able to see and be able to find you. And I think that's one of the things that we deal with a lot, is people are like, oh, they'll find us, but they won't. There's millions upon millions upon millions of businesses out there. And so whatever you can do as a business owner to have an opportunity to get your business known to the right people, your target market, then you're going to be a lot more successful. So is there one piece of advice that you'd like to share?
Geared towards the small business owner that is looking to optimize their listing on Google My Business and potentially even navigate the waters of paid media, specifically Google Ads. I think my main piece of advice coming from my side of the industry, where I'm very much in the trenches, so to speak, I'm very much acclimated with the platforms. We're in it every day. I'm not a business owner that's just checking in once every so often. This is really kind of the lens that I see this area. And the advice that I would give somebody who doesn't have the lens that I do is, again, ensure that whenever you take a step in this direction, know what the goals are. Understand, really think about the user experience and understand what is the best thing that could happen from this initiative. If my listing on Google My Business is really optimized, what do we really want to come from that? What does that look like? And because, like we alluded to earlier in this episode, businesses are ever evolving, ever developing in their own nuance, in their own industry. Those goals are going to look different business to business. And so as you're optimizing something like a Google My Business listing, and when you go into putting and deploying media spend on a campaign, it's important to understand with every dollar, what is the point of this? What is the true outcome we're looking to catalyze here? And that's going to really help you understand on the back end when you're looking at the numbers, or when a consultant is walking you through the numbers, you can be zeroed in on what that primary goal was. Don't get lost in anything that might come up. Understand why you set out to do it. You can pivot from your learnings. Be crystal clear on what the goal is. If you're really looking to drive traffic to the store, to have your online store so that you can move products in e-commerce, or you're looking for people to visit your yoga studio, don't let any other metric push you in a different way that isn't in line with that goal.
Words of wisdom. Words of wisdom from Anthony Raffa from the Johnson Group. I am so appreciative of everything that you shared here today. Super informative. I think it took me to a different level of thinking about what Google can do. You know, my piece of advice was super simple. It's don't blow off an opportunity for free advertising, but that you need to know, you know, from what you've said, you need to know what your goal is with that. Do you want to drive it to website? Do you want it to drive it to purchasing? Just be very intentional about the approach so that you get the most effect out of what you're trying to accomplish. Thank you again for your time, and hopefully all of you listening have walked away with a better understanding of Google and why it needs to be a tool in your business toolbox. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to How to Business, a podcast by the Small Business Development Center in Chattanooga, Tennessee. If you liked this episode, please share it with a friend and be sure to subscribe on Spotify, Apple, Google, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you next week here on How to Business.